Kevin, if you could be any animal, what would you be?
I'd probably be a cat, to be honest.
A cat?
Yeah.
I remember a lot when I was younger. I would ask that question, and then I would personally be like, I want to be a bird. And that reason was because I was always interested in the ways that birds could fly. I mean, my reasoning was like, if I was a bird, I could like technically fly to concerts or something.
That would
like,
be why? So cool.
Like, obviously birds don't, but like, hypothetically, I always wanted to be like a type of like falcon that could fly really fast. And what's interesting is like, those kinds of birds can fly so freaking fast, and it's like, I don't know how they're able to.
That's insane. I mean, when I think of birds, honestly, I think of like, I think of those like blue jays or like hummingbirds, because always around my neighborhood and around my house, they'd be flying around, and I'm like, dang, they're so colorful, they're so pretty. Like,
did you ever see those like small birds? Like, they're just like these, I don't even know the name of them, but like they're these small, tiny little, just tiny birds, and I always thought they were babies.
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they hop around on the ground sometimes.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Do you have any like childhood memories of birds?
There was one random time my family got a bird feeder, and I didn't really understand how they worked. I was like, no way birds are gonna come up to this like weird red looking thing. But I think that's when I really started noticing small birds.
Mm.
Yeah.
Last night I like thought about it. I was like, how many bird memories do I really have? And I had to like jot down a few, and I was like, when I was younger, my family always took me to like the beach, right? Pacific Beach, and like there's a lot of seagulls there, obviously. And at the end of like every trip, like on a Friday, right? Or not on a Friday, like a Sunday, we would go back. But before we go back, we would always buy like a loaf of bread,
mm-hmm.
either for like the use of while we were staying or just in general. But we would buy a loaf of bread, and we'd have extra, obviously. So we would take, like, pieces of that and throw that into, like, the middle of the road. And you'd watch as just slowly a large amount of seagulls just begin to, like, it would be, like, one or two. But then more and more would begin to, like, fly in. And it's so interesting, like, how smart birds can be. And I mean, obviously, that doesn't show, like, their intelligence. But it's just, birds are such interesting creatures. And I think that they apply so much to, like, connecting with people.
Yeah. I never really saw it like that, but that's really cool.
Mm.
Yeah. I think I've heard or saw somewhere that pigeons are really smart, and I was confused, but like as I learned more about birds literally delivering messages to people, I'm like, no way. But yeah, they're really smart.
Were pigeons used to deliver messages? What birds was that?
I'm not so sure, but there were definitely carrier birds in the past.
Have you ever seen a baby pigeon? There's like a meme that's like, it's like, I've never seen a baby pigeon.
Well, I've never seen a baby pigeon.
I think there was a thing with like, I guess like pigeons, I don't know, like they hide their children until they're like old enough. I don't know if that's true. But moving on. It's like, speaking about the weather, and like, have you ever considered like how animals are affected by the weather? Because I never really thought about it.
Yeah, I feel like people mainly talk about humans when they think about weather. They're like, oh, it's gonna be rainy, you gotta bring an umbrella or something.
Yeah.
But I never really considered how it affects animals.
I didn't really see a change in, like, the climate or weather, like, not, like, noticeable differences until the past year. Like, especially this year, I've seen, like, a lot of changes, like, irregular weather patterns than before.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the weather's been really strange, and maybe I just didn't notice it, but it just doesn't make sense sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I never really considered how animals were affected by this, and I mean, with the project that we did, we were asked, obviously, to, well, I don't know if you remember, but, like, we were asked to think of something more local. And obviously, at first, I was thinking, like, maybe I should do something, like, related to fast fashion and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's an important topic to talk about, but I'm not sure how much I can, like, how local, I mean, it is a very local thing, but I'm, like, let me think of something, like, more local, you know?
Yeah.
So I was, like, my mom always, like, likes taking care of the birds in our backyard, and, like, there's always these different types of birds that come around, and it's, like, we once had, like, a literal seagull, like, in the in the most random time, and it's, like, I considered and researched more about, like, how birds could play a part in this, and I didn't realize that what's so interesting is that birds stick to such a strict schedule in their migration patterns. This applies to, like, migratory birds, but this can also apply to native birds and stuff like that. But it's so interesting that, like, they have they just have a specific time that they know to migrate. Like, it's, like, naturally they know when to go and arrive. Just everything they have is very strict schedule. And it's so interesting to consider how this, like, applies to it, because they leave, I think they leave, like, they leave, like, October is my guess, I think so. And they usually arrive in, like, April, and that's, like, when bugs tend to hatch. And that's important because they stick to the strict schedule, because it allows them to be able to feed their young, and it gives them enough time to, like, be able to fully sustain their young and stuff like that.
So basically, okay, if I'm hearing that right, basically birds just know. They just got a feeling.
Yeah.
And when they come, all of the stuff is just ready there for them, because they're, like, smart enough to know, okay, if I get here by this time, then there will be enough food for my babies.
It's always been, like, they have this very strict time of when to leave. But now that the weather is, like, the climate is just in general, like, completely changing and being super regular, birds literally have no idea when to leave. And it's, like, they usually, I'm assuming they would find, like, signs and, like, the seasons, and would be able to tell, like, okay, this is, like, when it's starting to get colder. Because, like, before it would gradually get colder, but now it's, like, it'll be, like, 54 degrees outside, and now it's, like, below freezing temperatures, and it's, like, snowing in some parts of Washington. It's, like, so birds will, like, stay here too long, and they'll freeze to death. And it's, yeah.
That's really sad.
So I think it's important that people would know more about that. Mm-hmm. And what I also think is important is that, like, learning about climate change is so scary. I'm not going to lie. Like, whenever I see, like, social media on it, I'm, like, I'm so discouraged. Even, like, I don't know, like, the educational part of it, like, it's good to be educated about it. But then also I think it's important to discuss, like, solutions.
Yeah.
I think it's very important, because I feel, like, so, I mean, yeah, it just feels stuck. And I think good solutions are just planting native plants. Like, native plants can sustain more bugs, and allow those birds to be able to, like, use this as a resource to be able to eat during this, like, hard time. I mean, I do think educating the community is super important, but just, I think planting native plants is a really good like opportunity. And it's like, it's not very hard. You can like go to like any local store and just plant a small plant, just like make a little bit of a difference, you know?
Yeah. I'm really with you on that. I feel like everyone's so quick to just zone out or like, maybe let it pass their mind. Cause climate change is just such a big issue and you feel like you have to do something big to fix it.
Yeah.
But planting native plants, I really see how that like works its way up and helps those birds.
Mm. The thing is like, I mean, like in neighborhoods, people do tend to like plant more non-native plants. Like in my neighborhood, literally someone planted like 6 palm trees and I'm like, we're literally in the middle of Washington. That applies. And it's like these poor, and it's like baby palm trees. I'm like, these things are not gonna last in like this weather.
Yeah.
And like a lot of my neighbors are just like, I mean, I've seen like a lot of trees like fall down or like get chopped down in my neighborhood and then they never like replaced it. And it's kind of sad to see because like, I really like the plants in the area. And I just getting to the point, like non-native plants, they don't sustain any bugs. So like they can be non-invasive, like they don't have any properties, but that also means that they have like nothing. They contribute to literally nothing like for the local environment. So I mean like they're still plants, but it's like they're not as significant as planting like a native plant.
Yeah, when you said palm trees, I was reminded by what my parents always say. Like when we're driving around, we'd see palm trees and my dad would always point out like, yeah, that's not really gonna grow. Like, cause my family came from Vietnam and they've seen like where they're actually supposed to be thriving and all these tropical plants are not like, they're not supposed to be here. And they don't, like you said, they don't provide benefit here.
Mm. It's kind of sad to see. It's just like we have so many like different types of native plants that I wouldn't. I mean, obviously, I don't really know like how what's native and what's not native. Like, I can't like determine, but like you can clearly see the difference between like non-native plants in not the correct community compared to like what is supposed to be here.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm driving to Home Depot and getting a native plant there.
Speaking of driving, speaking of driving, like, let's just talk about cars. Like, what do you think? What is your opinion?
Okay, so when I actually live pretty far away from Home Depot, so my first thought is like, I should take the freeway, right? Mm. And it's crazy to think how many cars are on the freeway.
I know.
Because I actually had to avoid the freeway today because it was so packed. I don't know, there's not even like an accident or anything.
Yeah.
It's just so many people driving their cars. And that reminded me about my little brother, because he's like giant Tesla fanboy. And when Tesla first came out, like that was his sign to get invested. And I'm stuck in the car when he has to point out the 15 Teslas on the road. So I know a thing or two about them. I guess what I wasn't really sure of is what kind of impact they do for climate change and sustainability.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's a lot more complicated than most might realize.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people, at first they see an electric car and they're like, wow, there's such smart technology and it's going to be so good for our environment.
Yeah.
But the resources that it takes to make an electric car is really costly.
Yeah.
The batteries, it's not like a battery on your phone or on like, it's a really intense battery that requires a lot of materials.
Yeah.
And the lithium mining that's going on in the Congo, a lot of people don't know about it.
Yeah.
But there's children being forced to work in these mines, and it's really unethical. Even after an electric car is made, I was shocked to see, like, you need to have it for at least a year of consistent driving before it even provides any benefit. So it like, also, all the battery components, they're really difficult to get rid of.
Yeah.
So it's an investment you really need to stick with if you want to do better for the environment. So when I saw all that, I got kind of scared. I was like, shoot, maybe there's no hope for electric vehicles.
Yeah.
But an interesting thing I learned is some researchers at MIT are developing a new kind of electric vehicle battery.
Yeah.
And it's a lot cheaper it's a lot cheaper environmentally.
Yeah.
And it can really benefit electric vehicles. And I was like, okay, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
And also, have you seen any like hybrid vehicles driving?
Yes. I don't really know how hybrids work. Like, don't they? I think my friend has one. It's like you can charge it and then it also works on like gas, right?
Yeah. So a lot of hybrids, they give you the option to use either gas or electric.
Yeah.
And gas is for like longer distance driving. Yeah. But if you're just driving to and from school or like short distances.
Yeah.
Then it uses electric. And right now, I saw a graph and it basically gas fueled cars, they emit double of what electric and hybrid emit.
Yeah.
And a hybrid is like almost the same as electric vehicles because it takes so much carbon dioxide to even make an electric vehicle in the first place.
Yeah.
But hybrid vehicles, their gas is like, usually it's not even used that much. A lot of the time they're using electric, but it's not as costly to make their batteries.
Is their batteries different?
Yeah, their batteries, they're mostly all lithium ion.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the same among electric vehicles and hybrids.
Yeah.
But they're a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a lot less work to make a battery.
I've heard things about like how those batteries are like non-degradable. Like they literally last forever.
Mm-hmm.
Like they never degrade down. Like, what is your opinion on that?
I feel like when I was first learning about climate change again, and they're talking about plastics, you know, and similar to plastics, batteries can be recycled as well.
Yeah.
But really the best way is just to not let these batteries go wasted.
Yeah.
And if we are using them, I feel like these batteries should be able to do other things too.
Yeah.
Rather than serve like one case, one car kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't know how far people have gotten solving that issue.
I mean, I think cars are like one of the most important things like in society because we need it literally for transportation. And it kind of sucks that there's not like a lot more options that we can explore. I mean, I've heard a few, like I've seen online, this guy like tried to make a water powered vehicle, but I guess that's like not, I guess that's not possible for an amount of reasons, but it would be cool if we had like more ideas of that. But I've been seeing things like solar power. I don't know which cars this applies to, but it's like solar powered roads. I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's solar powered roads. And it's like it, as you drive through it, it like powers your car. And I don't know if this, I'm pretty sure this only applies to like electric vehicles, but I'm just like, that is super interesting.
And
like how we could apply that.
And another thing about, I know I've been talking a lot about batteries, but anyway, batteries. So solar power, people don't know that it takes batteries too. Like solar power costs, unfortunately, it costs a lot of lithium.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a really cool idea though.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other ideas going around.
Yeah.
It's just everything electric has to do with batteries.
Yeah, unfortunately. I mean, I don't know. Like, do you ever drive, like, on the freeway or just on the roads in general? Have you ever seen a bird, like, have you ever seen, like, a bird, like, fly over your car or, like, come near your car?
Not quite, but I've seen a bird poop on my car.
One time my sister and I were driving and there was just this big, we were driving on the freeway and there was this big giant owl that flew completely across the car and it was just so scary. It's so, like, birds are very smart creatures, but sometimes they get a little too comfortable.
I feel like we're so used to seeing them in the sky or, like, far away. Yeah. And then you get up close to them and you're like, dang, they're kind of huge.
I know, they're actually so big. Well,
Oh wait, I didn't get to what people. Okay, so I was kind of like in a dilemma about what car I should own in the future.
Yeah,
because in a way, my dad's always been like, you know, like by the time you're old, you can afford a cool electric vehicle because that's like the new and trendy thing.
Do you want an electric vehicle? I mean, like, yeah, clearly, but, like, as I, like, looked into cars, it's honestly, so, like, I can't even lie. Cars are so, like, cool. Like, especially the types. I'm not personally, like, a fan of, like, loud cars, but I do think sports cars are cool. Like, not in appropriate areas. like, I would own a sports car, but then I'd only have it for, like, aesthetics,
yeah,
and not like driving around. I just feel like they look very like obnoxious in public, but I can't even lie, they look pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sadly the electric cars, they're not common enough. There's not like anything. Trust me, I've tried looking for the most sports car attractive looking electric vehicle.
Yeah.
And it's like the size or the price of a house, or it's
what's wrong with that?
or it's not quite my style.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just I think if you were to ask me right now,
yeah,
I would say hybrid, because especially since we live in Washington, our power is not like. It's good that our power is not all like coal mines and nuclear and all that. So when I charge my car, it's not harming the environment.
Mm-hmm.
But if I live somewhere else, I would get an electric vehicle instead. And if the MIT batteries start popping up, then maybe I'd get an electric car in the future. But whatever I do, I would avoid a gas car.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I think considering, like, what's important is important. I mean, like, obviously, but, like, recently in history, I've learned about, like, I just forgot the name. Is it progression? I think that's the word. And it was, like, talking about how, like, the early 20th century has begun to, like, morph more into, like, like the progressive era where people focus less on individualism and more of like a community. Mm-hmm. And first when I heard that, I kind of associated that with like a bad thing because it like, what do you mean? Like you want to like focus less. I didn't consider like what they meant by individualism. Mm-hmm. Like it is good to be your own individual, but like what they meant by that was like capitalism, like big business owners.
Yeah.
And I just, it was just so interesting to learn about because it's when the like people really started like thinking about like the environmental impacts and like pollution and like how their water is bad, how their food is bad, mm-hmm. how like they started fighting for like more like less like bad working a bad working environment, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
And I think that can kind of apply to like communicating with people, because it's like I think they can like just considering like us as a community, we should look more into like I think we like look more into like how things benefit us, mm-hmm. And I think that birds benefit us like a lot, but I don't think people really think about that.
Yeah.
I never really thought about that personally. But like birds do things like keep invasive species out of the way, mm-hmm. Like bugs, and they actually I forgot the word.
I know I've heard about like cross-pollination with birds too, and there's like, well, maybe just because I'm a hummingbird kind of person, but and just I feel like it's a lot easier to appreciate nature as well. Just like,
yeah.
There's obviously a lot of like big things birds do, but yeah. Now I feel like I can pay attention to the environment more.
Yeah.
If I look at a bird and see like how is it affecting them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think birds are just so significant to the, like they disperse seeds. That's what I was looking for. and it's just crazy like how much they're affected by like us. Something that I never heard of was noise pollution. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where like birds are like in like places like New York, I'm assuming, or like urban areas, it basically said birds kind of like get really stressed out,
yeah.
by the constant noise and just like there's like a lot of noises going on, like there's cars honking, construction going on, and it like really stresses out these birds, and it has like really bad effects on their offspring. Like there it was found that like birds that were exposed to this for like long periods of time, their offspring were found with like weaker, I think like weaker eggs, like, oh. like less feathers, just like super unable to like support themselves. And it's like, it's really sad because I don't know how commonly like we ever think about this apart from like we as humans. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so sad.
I know. It's okay. I mean, we're figuring out ways to combat against it.
Yeah. I think a big thing is just people don't realize, like people yeah. don't just stop and say like, who do we share our city with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't think that people really think about past like their safe space mm-hmm. and like considering things like COVID. I don't think we really leave our houses as much anymore.
Yeah.
Knowing myself, I don't. but like when we went on a 20-minute nature walk,
mm-hmm.
and we considered like the local noises, I heard the birds like chirping in the trees, and it's so interesting how they can communicate.
Yeah. I think speaking of that nature walk, though,
mm-hmm.
it's like it was a little distracting because like it's so weird hearing, if you really think about it, it's weird yeah. hearing like the train sounds
yeah.
in the background of the birds or like the cars driving by in the background.
Yeah.
And like now if we look around to our city,
yeah.
all of this used to be their safe space. Like yeah. if our home was our COVID safe space, we kind of just trampled over the habitat of these birds.
Yeah.
Like, especially with driving, yeah. I don't know. I think whenever people want to get somewhere, they're like, oh, shoot, I'll just take a car.
Yeah.
And if they want to take a car, they have to build tons of roads.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and, like, all these cars, they're going so fast, they don't even like see the nature around them.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think maybe there's like ways or times where we can just not use a car. 'Cause switching to an EV or a hybrid vehicle is great, but like just walking, in nature or biking or just really slowing down.
To defend the cars though, not gonna lie though, we are expanding like the roads, and I have noticed how like at this point we have come to a place where like there's barely anywhere to walk.
Yeah.
There's like, have you ever seen those memes where it's like a beautiful like scenic area, and then someone, and then the caption's like, wow, I would put a Walmart here.
Yeah.
I would put a Walmart super center here with with like a big parking lot. And it's like, that is kind of true to like how we are like treating our earth.
Yeah.
We don't really have, like, if you look at European areas, there's a lot of, like, walking areas. Mm. And people really tend to, like, walk everywhere. But, like, here, it's, like, I don't even know, like, if it's safe to walk, especially, like, as a woman, obviously. But, like, I don't know if I feel comfortable walking
as much. I'm really with you on that. Yeah. I think it's difficult. Even, like, I've tried walking around my neighborhood, but the sidewalks are tiny, and you're a few inches away from cars passing by you. And it's not, it just becomes so normal for cars to be everywhere. And you, when you visit other places, and like, I remember going to Canada and I was like, there's like no roads in this like one particular area.
Yeah.
And everyone just walks everywhere. And I thought it was really cool.
Yeah.
But maybe that's something that we should change, just to not only benefit birds and their habitat, but also benefit like cars and their environmental cost.
Yeah. Honestly, I just think that we as a society should like try to connect more with nature, like just considering like, I think mentioning like progressivism, we kind of tend to focus on ourselves, and it's okay to focus on yourself, but also, like, we should focus on the things around us as well. Mm-hmm. Like, if you, like, just look around for a minute, like, have you not seen that thing where it's, like, the art of noticing? Like, you can see, like, people talking to each other, like, the nature around you, and it's, like, it's honestly such a beautiful thing, because even I think that I really don't be, like, looking around as often as I should. Especially, like, when I'm driving. I mean, obviously, I have to, like, stick to a strict, like, area.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of important that we should, like, begin to notice more. And that's what I would say, that just something small to do is just to notice more.
That's really impactful. I'll be doing that. Well, thanks, Martina.
Yeah, thank you.
That's a nice talk.